Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And let me be the first to say good morning to you from 93.7 The Fan. This is the early morning show. I'm Matt Cole here with you to about 5:40 before the Fan morning show pre-show, live and local from our Green Tree Studios. It's the start of a new day, brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, and a happy Monday morning to you, getting the week started off right here on 93.7 The Fan. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. For me, I learned that sled riding, and yes, it's sled riding and not sledding, is still a fun thing to do, even now at my age. And I went out with my sister, my brother-in-law, and my little two-year-old nephew. We had a good time sled riding on Saturday. I don't think that'll ever not be fun, and I learned that this past weekend. Hope you enjoyed some of the snow and some of the weather out there this past weekend. And also, you may have enjoyed something that debuted this weekend, and I want to have as much as an open discussion about this as I possibly can in a booth by myself on a single-man radio show. What did you think of the XFL? Did you watch it? Did you tune in? What did you see? What did you like? I think I was really surprised at how much talk that the XFL generated this past weekend and how much people actually paid attention to it, sat down and watched a few minutes of it if they didn't watch every game. And I'll be the first to admit, I didn't watch every game this past weekend, but I certainly did tune in whenever I saw it on TV, whenever I had a couple minutes to see what was going on there, and I was at least intrigued by the XFL this weekend, and I think a lot of people were. And what I liked about it, there were a few things. I like that the mics are pretty much everywhere, and that there's a lot of on-field interviews, I mean, especially with players coming right off the field, and I think they're kind of towing that line between being what they don't want to be, and that's too gimmicky. So that as to the actual football fans that want to tune in and, well, watch football, aren't turned off by it because it doesn't look like football. I think they rode that line pretty well, where they added some subtleties to the game without completely making it look like not a version of the NFL. And the mics everywhere, I think, are a good thing. People want to hear those conversations going on the field. And the on-field interviews, I think, open up a door to where players can say some crazy stuff right after scoring plays. When they're all hyped up, they say whatever's on their mind at that point. And having the coaches mic'd up as well, you can hear their conversations on the sidelines. I think those are all really good things. I think the mics on the refs while making calls is a pretty interesting thing. I think, I don't know, part of the NFL and the mystery around the NFL sometimes is that you have no idea what goes into these calls, especially after instant replay. Like, what the heck are they looking at to make that call? I've wondered that myself many times watching the NFL. And a couple of times the XFL lets you in on the refs' conversations when they're trying to determine things and when they're looking at replay. And there was one guy who was about to be ejected in a game, and they went in and you could hear that conversation between the referees. I think that's all a good thing. Although all of those refs need to be mic'd up. I think it was just like the crew chief and you couldn't really hear what the other referee was saying to him. It was kind of muffled, and then you could just hear the crew chief there. I think all of them need to be mic'd up there. And then a couple of things about the gameplay that I thought was interesting. I think I like the three options for extra points. So if you didn't catch it, you can either go for one, you can go for two, or you can go for 3 points after scoring a touchdown. That's kind of the most gimmicky thing and non-traditional football thing that I think the XFL is doing. And I think it's kind of a cool concept because there's more options there, but I don't know if I like not being able to tell right away how many possessions away a team is from the other. Like, it's hard for me to kind of compute and to calculate it in my head as easily as like, okay, they need to score here, you know, a touchdown and a field goal and they'll tie it up or whatever, all the different combinations that you can do in a traditional football game. I think that opens up the door for too many different things. Maybe that's just my feeble mind, but I don't really like that. But I think the kickoffs look a little bit weird. I think those are kinds of the other things that are different. The team's not being able to get a running start until the returner catches it and they're lining up at the 30. It looks a little weird, but I think once that returner breaks one off and, you know, hits a seam and takes off and gets past that initial wall of defenders and he's just gone, I think the payoff will be there. And it really does help them that they're on ESPN and ABC too. And they don't have half their games or most of their games on what I call the little CBS, the CBS Sports Network, like the AAF did. Like, they had a couple of their games to at least start with on big CBS, Channel 2, national broadcast. Everybody has Channel 2. But then afterwards, they went and slinked back to the CBS Sports Network, and then all of a sudden, nobody was watching their games again. I mean, the XFL, I'm not going to make too much of it here. I like some things. I think they kind of almost exceeded expectations for me. But they still have a few very real problems moving forward. The level of football is just never going to be there as compared to the NFL. The names aren't the same. The level of play isn't the same. Everybody can kind of see that. And especially if you live in a pro town like this one, where we consume so much of the NFL, you can tell by just watching a couple games over the weekend. And they have somewhat of a short window to kind of make a lasting impression. Although I think it was smart to end it right at the NFL draft on April 23rd, to end that season right before all the hype for that. And I think their only real competition here comes in the form of March Madness. I don't think it's the NFL or it's the NHL playoffs. I don't think it's the NBA playoffs. I don't think those are a huge factor as to the interest level in the XFL. But I think when March Madness starts on the 17th of March, of course, that's week 7 of their regular season. That's going to be their first real competition. It'll be interesting to see what they do from there. I think they need to develop some personalities and market them. You know, they need the he hate me character, right? Someone who's kind of flashy, or they need a villain to emerge in these games, and a guy that they can kind of plaster as, you need to tune in to watch this guy. And they need that guy with a game that can spark debate about how well he can transition to the NFL. Can this guy actually play in the league? And I think they had one guy, at least from this opening weekend, with the Houston Roughnecks. And it's their quarterback, P.J. Walker. He's 24 years old. And the Roughnecks beat up the Wildcats 37-17. On Saturday, but this guy threw for 272 yards and 4 touchdowns, and he's kind of a dual threat quarterback. And so at least, you know, there's a guy in the very early runnings here of, hey, let's watch what PJ Walker can do. Can he actually improve on this? They need a guy to market in the XFL to be able to last. And I also think they need some, I don't know, maybe need some controversy in there. There was a punch thrown at one point in this opening weekend, I believe it was by a defensive tackle for the Tampa Bay team, and he got ejected. Maybe you need some of that in these games. But what I think they really need, and how this thing's going to last beyond just this season when it's all said and done, and yes, there was plenty of buzz and hype about it after this opening weekend. What they really need here is for college players to start choosing the XFL over college totally or over that extra year of needed eligibility before they can get into the NFL. Like, instead of not getting paid to play another year in college, go to the XFL instead. Like, I think of, you know, it's a very particular case right now and would be very high end if the XFL where further along it could land this type of thing. But say Trevor Lawrence doesn't come back for Clemson, and instead of going for another year of eligibility there, he goes to the XFL. Or it doesn't even have to be a quarterback, but just a well-known college player goes into the XFL to play that final season of eligibility before he's eligible for the NFL draft. I think that's when the XFL would really take off. Or, in the first case, if these college or these high school kids just go and completely skip the college game, and you wouldn't be a great decision for them maybe overall in their life, but if they feel like they have that NFL talent, to go right to the XFL, get paid, and be a part of that league, be marketed right away, and it's fast-tracked into the NFL. I think that's the only way that the XFL really has staying power in this whole thing, is if some kids choose that league over playing in college, and they can get some marketable names coming through there. So those are just my initial thoughts on the XFL. What did you think? Text in at 412-928-9370, and I'll review some comments as this show goes on today. Weird to see guys like Sammy Coates and Eli Rogers in there making some plays in the XFL. And I thought about Eli Rogers, honestly. Shouldn't he be playing for a spot with the Steelers? I mean, I know it's the XFL, and he looked pretty good in that first week, but with Ben Roethlisberger coming back, I think Ben had a certain affinity for Eli Rogers. If he can show that he can still play, I would think that he is kind of playing for another tryout for the Pittsburgh Steelers, that spot there isn't necessarily gone for Eli Rogers. And I think he's one of the more marketable guys for the DC Defenders, I believe he's on. Just an interesting thought there for Eli Rogers, that his Steeler days, I don't know if I'd necessarily close the book on them. All right, coming up next, a couple of headlines from the sports world over the weekend, including Charlie Batch, who was the real winner from this weekend, and I'll go over that. And then one thing that the NHL should do to help its game, to help its league, and to help probably the Pittsburgh Penguins as well. And it should be happening as soon as this season, although, of course, it won't. I'll explain more when I get there. That's all coming up next. It's the Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan.
Kane is in the building.
It is the Early Morning Show here on 93.7 The Fan. Some interesting things going on this weekend beyond the XFL, of course. Let's catch you up on some of those things.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
All right, the first is that blockbuster deal in Major League Baseball was held up and then finally did go through this weekend. And so the names are pretty much the same, but they're going in some different places. And it was held up basically because of Scott Boras and making sure and trying to convince people that his client was healthy. And so Mookie Betts and David Price are going from the Red Sox to the Dodgers. There's still $48 million that are being exchanged in exchanging hands in this trade. And that is to cover half of what Price is owed over the next three seasons. Just half. The Red Sox are receiving outfielder Alex Verdugo, infield prospect Jeter Downs, and catching prospect Connor Wong from the Dodgers. The Twins are getting Kenta Maeda and a prospect and $10 million from the Dodgers. And then the guy who was initially holding up this trade, and I'm going to completely butcher his name, the Twins reliever, his last name's Graterol, whose medical reports prompted this entire holdup as the Red Sox voiced their concerns, is now going to the Dodgers along with the 67th overall pick in the 2020 draft. Again, this trade showing that there are the haves and the have-nots in Major League Baseball. The fact that $48 million was just exchanged hands between these two teams, the Red Sox and the Dodgers, shows the discrepancy in Major League Baseball and the very real problem they have right now between their lower market teams, like the Pirates, whose entire payroll for this 2020 season is sitting right around that $48 million number. To have that just be exchanged hands in a trade shows major issues for Major League Baseball. So there you go, the completion of that trade. Also, speaking of the XFL from this weekend, on Friday night, Johnny Manziel got into some things. So he says, comeback season, SZN, as I guess he has coined. Still alive if y'all ain't know, Manziel wrote via Twitter. Just not playing for another league that's going to fold on you midway through the season. Manziel, of course, was in the AAF. He was part of the Memphis Express. He didn't do well there, but he at least was a personality for the league, and so he sounds off his official comments on the XFL. But the XFL, here's the thing. I don't think a lot of people want Johnny Manziel in the XFL. As former Dallas Cowboys star Dale Johnston, who now serves as a director of player personnel for the Dallas Renegades, he told the Dallas Morning News back in August that he wouldn't even consider signing Manziel ahead of the 2020 season. He said, quote, I passed on him in San Antonio, and I'd pass on him again here. And that was referring to his original stint as the general manager for the AAF team in San Antonio. For me, the chemistry in the locker room is critical, and especially at the quarterback position. He kind of sets the tone, especially for the offensive side of the ball, but really for the whole team. There is so much added responsibility that goes with the face, goes with the voice of the franchise. And I haven't seen that from Johnny on a consistent basis that I would feel comfortable committing to him. So Johnny Manziel is being blackballed out of the XFL, at least for now. And honestly, I don't know if that is the right tact for the league. I think as many interesting personalities as possible, bring them in. And I've seen the XFL Twitter account tweet about how they're going to keep Antonio Brown out of the league, that they don't want anything to do with him. I think that's kind of a mistake as well. Bring in every interesting character to kind of make this league work, including Johnny Manziel, even if he completely stinks, which I think that he might, based on his performance in the AAF. And then finally, Charlie Batch. Charlie Batch won the internet over the weekend. So on Friday, he put out a video of himself. I guess I'm assuming in his backyard. Who knows where it is? But of all the snow, and there's a bunch of trees behind him, and you can see the snowy landscape. And he tweets out, I really thought I was dreaming. I'm so in my happy place right now. Snowballing time. And it's just a quick 6-second video of him showing the snow with his face there. So, a couple days later, or later on that day, John Legend tweets at it, quote tweets it, and says, I was speeding past this in my mentions and definitely thought it was me. The sexiest man alive right now just confused Charlie Batch for himself. Talk about the ultimate self-esteem boost for Charlie Batch that he is being confused with the sexiest man alive in John Legend. And there was a lot of people that responded to that tweet that said that they thought it was John Legend as well when they first looked at that video. So congrats to you, Charlie Batch. You're the real winner here. All right, coming up next, one thing the NHL should do right now, and also a thought about Pitt's win over Georgia Tech. That's all next. Cars for Kids stuck in your head yet? Spot's going to be the death of me. The time is 5:29. It's brought to you by WeatherSeal Home Services, and it's also the start of a new day brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, finishing things up here on the early morning show. Jeff Capel is scheduled to join the Fan Morning Show today at 8:27. Checking in after the win over Georgia Tech this weekend. And speaking of, Justin Champagne dropped a career-high 30 points, 9 boards against Georgia Tech. And he's that dude. He's the guy Pitt was missing last year, that hybrid player that can do a little bit of everything, the guy that fits perfectly, I think, in today's ACC. He has the size to be a great rebounder. He can shoot the three ball. He handles the ball and drives the ball well. You always need great guard play, and particularly a point to facilitate and run things at the top. And they have that in Xavier Johnson, although I don't know. I think his progression has maybe not been as fast or as good as people thought it would be to this point. But I do think Champagne will be that guy that separates Pitt from the pack as they get older with this group, this core group here, and get more talent around him. He looks like he'll be the face of Pitt as long as he sticks around long enough and doesn't bolt for the NBA if his career really does take off from here. And I thought Georgia Tech, particularly on Saturday, shot extremely well to keep them in it, especially from three, and maybe a spot in a game where Pitt would fold maybe last year and could have faltered. But Champagne is built for ACC play. He's faster, he's versatile, he's well-rounded, and I think he was a lot of why Pitt ended up winning that game on Saturday. And it was one of the few games that was on AT&T Sportsnet and wasn't on the ACC network, so maybe you caught most of it and watching it on your TV as opposed to other means of streaming and however else you watch Pitt basketball this season when they're on the ACC network and you don't get it on traditional cable networks. It's just really striking to me how different Pitt looks from the old Big East days. Like, not only the court and the uniforms, a different shade and all of those different things, but just the style of ACC play. And I think they finally fully embraced it with Jeff Capel coming in, because Jamie Dixon was always going to be kind of a bruiser Big East guy. And Kevin Stallings, I mean, I don't think Kevin Stallings had any identity whatsoever for his teams. Who knows what was going on there. But Jeff Capel is playing ACC basketball. It's a lot faster, but it's also a little bit sloppier. Like, it's up and down, but there's also some, these guys take some crazy deep shots, some shots that really don't make much sense. They're a little sloppier with the ball. It's just a lot different than the Big East, and that kind of struck me on Saturday as well. But Justin Champagne, that guy, that face for Pitt, I believe, from here. All right, one thing that the NHL should do starting next season. So for the good of the league, for the good of its players, and for the good of the popularity of the sport on a big scale, the NHL playoffs should be starting this week. Like, that makes the most sense. Most NHL teams have played about 55 games to this point in the year. 55 games should be plenty for an NHL season. Because at this point, we've reached where we're kind of holding our breath that nobody else gets hurt, right? That Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin can stay healthy. That both of these goaltenders, and Matt Murray and Tristan Jarry, can stay healthy and can stay playing at a top level. That another defenseman doesn't go down, like John Marino just went down on, what was that, Thursday, whenever he got hit in the face with a puck. At this point, you've figured most teams out. You know who they are. You know who the contenders are going to be in the Eastern Conference this year. You've got the Penguins. You've got the Capitals. You've got the Lightning and the Bruins. Those are the four teams that have kind of risen to the top, and they're probably most likely going to appear in the Stanley Cup at the end of the year. And more practically, what else is going on in the sports world right now? That's why leagues like the XFL are created, because sports fans are hurting for big-time content this time of year, right after the Super Bowl. There is a gap here between, for weeks, between the Super Bowl and March Madness and the NFL, or in the NHL and the NBA playoffs. We need something to fill in here. The NHL is kind of a niche thing with niche markets already. This could be their time to shine. To go 82 games, I think, in a sport that's this physical is a little bit ridiculous. I mean, these guys have been playing since October. A five-month regular season makes sense to me. The playoffs would eventually run into March Madness, but after the opening round, the games are mostly on the weekends, and the NHL playoff games are played during the week as well. Like, they have all of those weeknights to capitalize on while March Madness is going on. Move the All-Star break if you're really that concerned about it. Move the All-Star break to December, right after the college football regular season ends and the bowl season hasn't started yet, where they move those NFL games to Saturday anyway. Move it to there. If it's 55 games, every game is that much more important. It's more intense. People don't check out for the first couple months of the year while the NFL is in full swing. The NHL should be filling that gap right now that we have. They shouldn't have to create an XFL, a whole other league, to get sports fans interested in it. Hockey is a winter sport. It's the dead of winter right now in February. Put your best forward right now. If you're hockey and if you're the NHL, the playoffs should be starting this week. All right, a question of the day as I wrap up here on the early morning show. After hearing some of the buzz about the XFL, are you watching the XFL next weekend? Did they hook you in for another week of watching that football action, or are you just completely checked out already? You've already seen enough from yet another upstart football league that's probably due to fail. Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. Get a sweetheart of a deal with Auto Show Savings in February. Today, cloudy with a bit of rain and a high of 46. And then tonight, cloudy with a shower as well, late, and a low of 37. Pre-show is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.